When George Bernard Shaw edited the novel in 1937, he surprised a lot of readers by suggesting that the ending we thought we knew, in which Pip meets Estella in the garden and they leave, possibly for a life together, possibly not, that ending was an afterthought on Dickens's part. It was a revised ending. The first ending had shown them meeting in London, Estella in a carriage, having a conversation, and then going their separate ways. So why did Dickens change his mind? Well, it's not entirely clear. Shaw was convinced that it was a bad move on Dickens's part. He said that it just showed a strain of sentimentality, Dickens sucking up to a readership who wanted happy endings, whereas the story seemed inevitably to point towards an unhappy ending. Everything in Great Expectations suggests that your expectations are doomed to be frustrated and disappointed. In part, it's the influence of another novelist, Edward Bulwer Lytton. He'd been popular for unhappy endings in novels like Rienzi, but they were falling out of fashion, and Dickens, as he was finishing off Great Expectations, was staying with Bulwer Lytton, and it may well be that Bulwer Lytton had convinced him that a happy ending would do better in the marketplace, and maybe also satisfy some of Dickens's own yearnings for the kinds of happy endings that his own life seemed to be falling away from. And that also suggests there may have been more obscure private reasons for Dickens changing his mind. His affair with the actress Ellen Ternan seemed to be going a little sour, and one notices there that the name Ellen and the name Estella are rather uncomfortably close to each other, and it's possible that Ellen Ternan too was being slightly chilly, slightly haughty, slightly indifferent, and the ending then maybe allowed Dickens to entertain a fantasy of himself having a happy ending with his lover. There's also perhaps the wish fulfillment directed towards his daughter, Kate, who had recently got married, and Dickens was convinced it would not be a happy marriage. So the fact that at the end of the novel, Estella has already survived an unhappy marriage, but still seems to be having the prospect of some future happiness, that too may be an aspect of wish fulfillment. But it's also worth noticing that the ending that Dickens ended up producing isn't unambiguous. Although they leave the house together, they leave the garden like Adam and Eve, hand in hand, a bit like Adam and Eve in Milton's Paradise Lost, it's not entirely clear what the future holds for them. It's possible that they're going to have a happy and fulfilling life together. It's possible they'll be like a couple of characters in another novel by Dickens, the Lammles in Our Mutual Friend, trapped in a loveless marriage. And walk out of the novel arm in arm, Dickens says, as if linked together by concealed handcuffs. So it's not entirely clear what we're looking at the end of the novel. If this is a novel about expectations being frustrated and disappointed, for us as readers, perhaps it's also a novel about expectations being teased. We're very rarely sure exactly what we're looking at in the novel, because we see it through two pairs of eyes at once. We see the younger Pip, who is all innocence and romance and high hopes, and we also see it through the eyes of the older Pip, who is narrating, who is all disappointment and sadness and regret. As readers, those two voices then come together for us at the end, in which we have both hope and also potential disappointment coming together in a very uneasy mixture. What are we seeing? Well, it's up to us to work that out for ourselves.